dos Estados Unidos na articulação do golpe, na manutenção da ditadura e na construção dos aparatos de repressão e tortura.
Esse estádio tem sangue de operário!
Arbex was my teacher. He was also the one that took me to work in Academy. He's like those distant friends or acquaintances. You don't meet them for a long time, for years sometimes. You lose contact. But then, in each encounter, it appears that there was no departure. The feeling is the same. The talks are the same. And he didn't seem to have changed at all. Arbex seems like those unbending figures. You meet some of them in your life as you go through. He doesn't compromise in politics or in life.
Try not to be too scared. This is a little bit frightening.
He influenced, and maybe still does, a generation of journalists. I remember, I once worked with a journalist that had worked with Arbex. And he used to say that he could see 3 steps ahead.
Oh. As I told you, fiat lux.
Brazil, ever since the beginning, in the 16th century, already was a globalized country. In the sense that ever since Brazil was colonized by the Europeans, we had an economy which was totally functioning toward the external markets. It began with sugar cane, and then cotton, and then coffee. So our economy has always been globalized in that sense. And also, our main structure of our economy was based on slavery and the traffic of human people. Millions of slaves came from Africa to Brazil. So, ever since the beginning, we have been globalized, in the worst sense of the term, which is we have ever been a country which has sent to the main countries of the capitalist society all riches and all of our resources and all of our what nature gave to Brazil. We have always exported, so we have been globalized for 500 years, and that's tragic. Capitalism is destroying the Amazon forest, and in the place where there was the Amazon forest, we have now millions of square miles of soybeans and cotton and corn and all products for exportation, which is destroying the Amazon forest, and we are paying the price of it. So that means globalization in Brazil. The only meaning it has is a very tragic meaning for Brazil. Globalization in a historical sense, it's as old as the bourgeoisie. If we talk about a global economy, it began with Marco Polo when he went to Asia from Venice to Asia to explore markets. We're talking about globalization. But the thing is, when the world market is submitted not to companies anymore, not to production anymore, but to the financial capital, then this is new. We have today 1 billion people, 1 billion people, I repeat, 1 billion people are hungry. They don't have enough to eat. One in every 7 human being don't have enough to eat. Why? You may say, well, it's because the world is not producing food enough to everybody. That's a lie. It's all about business. If you don't have money, you don't eat. Because they are not producing food, they are producing some good you have to buy. So a capitalist producer does not produce orange, because orange, you just take it from the orange tree and eat it, right? In the capitalism, it doesn't happen that way. You have to buy the orange. If you don't have money to buy the orange, you won't eat. That the nature itself is treated not like nature, not like a supplier of human needs. Nature itself became commodity. And that's a tragedy, because as we all know, the necessity of the capital is infinite. So they will destroy nature if they need to, in order to have profit. And that's what causes hunger in the world. And that's the new thing about globalization. The transformation of nature in finance, this is new. The transformation of food in finance, this is new. The transformation of medicine in finance, this is new. The transformation of housing, of everything we see in finance, this is new. The transformation of the human being in finance, this is new. That's what neoliberalism is, and that's what globalization is all about. Some economist said, if you combine every riches produced by a human being put together, you would add up to some $60 trillion. $60 trillion. The gross domestic product of mankind. $60 trillion. But if you add up all these stocks and bonds which were negotiated in the stock markets around the world, the sum was $600 trillion. Which means there was 10 times as much money as compared to goods, which is crazy. It means that you had to sell 10 times everything humankind produces in order to buy all the money which was circulating in the world. And that's the problem, and that's the crisis, because the money which is circulating is totally fake. It's a fake money, because it's a money fabricated by the financial market. That's bullshit. United States alone has more weapons than all the world put together against it. Edward Snowden showed United States controls information. That has not changed anything. So, United States is the biggest hegemonic nation in the world, and that has not changed anything.
We call it
But now they learn, the United States had to learn that all of its military power is not enough to beat Afghanistan. They lost the war in Afghanistan, like they lost in Vietnam. They lost the war in Iraq. And they will lose if they attack Iran. Why? Because they think that they can dominate people who live in their lands for 6,000 years. They cannot do it. So they have now a strategy, which is to make new alliances, new deals concerning their global power with the European Union, with countries that used to belong to Soviet Union and now don't belong anymore, and they are trying to encircle the main countries which they think may be potential enemies, which is Russia, China, Iran, and some other countries. They think they cannot rely on them. These people, the Indians, like we say, these people are the people who historically were despised, were overexploited, were killed by the thousands in the silver mines and gold mines in Bolivia, in Peru, in Ouro Preto, Brazil. So these people are at the lower layer of society, the Indians. And now they say, enough. The land is ours. They are saying this in South Mexico. They are saying this in Bolivia. They are saying this in Ecuador. They are saying this in Venezuela. And that's the difference, because now we have hundreds of thousands of people who historically have been despised, and all they say, enough, we won't take any more of this. That's what explains Evo Morales in Bolivia. That's why a guy like Chavez, who was half Indian, became president of Venezuela. That's what's happening in Ecuador. So we have now in South America a new phenomenon, and that's what's happening also in North America, in Mexico, which is the fact that these people don't stand anymore. They want their land, and that's new. Totally false, totally incorrect. It's totally laughable, totally laughable. It's a lie. Today, let's pick one engineer, which is a middle-class professional in Brazil. If he wants to earn as much money as he did like 5 years ago, he has to work twice as much. A professor, same thing. Doctors, same thing. People are working and working and working and working ever more to get the same payment, to keep their level of life, not to get better. In Brazil, economy is working, is functioning, because the middle class is getting indebted. Every family, every household in Brazil is owing to the banks like two or three times what they earn. So it's happening now in Brazil what has happened in the United States 6 years ago. One of these days, the middle class will find that they cannot pay anymore the television set they bought, the car they bought, the apartment they bought. They will find that they cannot pay it anymore, any longer. So I don't know what they're going to do. there will be a very serious crisis in Brazil. It won't be too long from now because the middle class already is strangled. They cannot keep this way of life for much longer. There's no way. Total illusion, totally bullshit. It's not happening. In Brazil, about 60,000 people die every year by bullet. 60,000. It's more than in Palestine, it's more than Iraq, it's more than in Afghanistan, it's more than in any country at war. We have a civil war in Brazil, which is, by the way, very, 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 very conditioned by race, because most of the victims are black, black young people. Unfortunately, in Brazil, this experience with the Workers' Party was aborted, was suffocated by the leadership. But it doesn't mean that the Workers' Party is dead, because many people in the Workers' Party want the party to be against capitalism. So if tomorrow Dilma Rousseff or Lula, the leadership, loses the election, what's going to happen? Then the Workers' Party will go to the opposition. And then the workers that want the Workers' Party to fight capitalism, they will be in the opposition. Then we're going to see strikes, we're going to see mass demonstrations, we're going to see the Workers' Party again showing itself like a party of the workers. I prefer being defeated in everything I did than being victorious with those who won. I agree. I prefer being defeated than be victorious with Barack Obama and Bush and George Soros and, well, all those people.
Maybe what we can do is give globalization a new spin. But in the end, like Arbeck said, if we're walking straight to collapse, then we should do something. In the outskirts of São Paulo, in the slopes of Rio, in the refugee camps in Palestine, we should care. Because if my government buys Israeli weapons developed on the occupation of the West Bank or the bombardments of the Gaza Strip, then that is my business.
Certo? Ela está latifúndio diária. E desde, vocês vão estudar isso melhor, a nossa história, a história do Brasil é produção agrícola para exportação. E a concentração de terras. Então, da mesma forma, o latifúndio está ligado aos interesses norte-americanos. O governo dos Estados Unidos, eles passam a fazer uma campanha intensa através dos seus filmes, das suas publicações, do American Way of Life, que é o consumo, o livre consumo, a liberdade. Então, você tem nessa época também, além da Guerra Fria, o American Way of Life. Essa propaganda do American Way of Life, ela vai fazer a cabeça, adivinha, de classe social no Brasil.
Acho que a globalização seria uma forma de comunicação entre as nações, sei lá, de alguma forma, seja tecnologicamente, economicamente, politicamente, são algo que é algo que une as nações, de certa forma, desune as nações. Acho que globalização seria isso, essa coisa de unir as nações de alguma forma. Acho que é isso.
Meu nome é Rebeca e o que eu penso sobre a globalização? É, na verdade, o que eu acho assim, que a globalização em si é uma maneira das pessoas se comunicarem do mundo inteiro. Porém, as consequências da globalização nem sempre são tão boas, que é a questão de um país sempre poder governar o outro. Então, eu acho que assim, a globalização tem os pontos positivos, que é a questão de comunicação, de você poder falar com uma pessoa que está lá no Japão, mas ao mesmo tempo a globalização prejudica as pessoas no âmbito que? Que elas podem ser mais influenciadas por outras nações. Então acho que é isso, basicamente. Fica meio óbvio assim, que os Estados Unidos meio que tem essa influência tão forte em outros países, principalmente os países da América. Isso é um fato. Então, é igual a professora mesmo fala, ou todo mundo comenta, que assim, você quer o quê? Chegar à Disney quando você é criança. Quando você já é adolescente, você quer imitar os atores que estão em Hollywood. Então você tem essa influência dos Estados Unidos aqui no Brasil ou em qualquer lugar assim, do mundo, acho que tem essa influência assim, forte.
E para mim, globalização nada mais é do que um ciclo que permite a circulação de mercadorias e principalmente de comunicação. A globalização está inteiramente ligada no sistema capitalista que vivemos, no mundo atual de hoje, e que nos permite ter contato e influência de outros países relacionado a culturas, etnias, e é isso.
Por exemplo, o que a Rebeca falou de que os Estados Unidos têm grande influência sobre outros países. Quando a globalização acontece, acaba que os Estados Unidos é o que mais influencia na cultura de país, ele acaba com a identidade nacional daquele país. Aqui no Brasil e aqui em São Paulo, a gente vê muitas pessoas usando as bandeiras dos Estados Unidos e Inglaterra em camisetas. Aí o que acontece? Você acaba não carregando a sua bandeira, a sua identidade, e sim a bandeira, a identidade de outro país. Ser brasileiro é ser guerreiro, você não desistir, como é uma propaganda que é passada para os outros países do mundo. O Brasil todo é jogador de futebol e samba, mas que muitas vezes, das vezes não é só isso. Porque o Brasil não é só isso, a gente tem muitos problemas sociais, mas que essa propaganda é feita para o resto do país, do mundo. E a identidade do brasileiro não é samba e futebol, é um país feliz, mas que tem problemas sociais e que muitas das vezes a gente esquece disso e a gente só pensa no pão e circo.